Yeah, swilling that Pepsi.
This is my last sip.
Hey everybody, welcome to Radio Labyrinth. This is season six, and I forgot the episode. Is it 20 or 19? It is 20, so because I screwed up Monday night. We had technical difficulties.
So this will be 19 then.
Yeah, so this is 19, not 20. This is 19. No, I screwed up on our recording Monday night. I felt that, and I'm just going to be honest, I felt like I was too negative. I felt like I was too pissy. And I felt like I was complaining too much. And so I decided not to put it out. So hopefully you guys aren't mad at me and hate me.
It didn't help that I had to keep dipping in and out, which I know you always get frustrated whenever.
Oh, no, don't ever worry about it. I haven't done that since last year.
Your rant against little person Billy Barty, though.
There was no rant against little person Billy Barty. There was nothing but love for Billy Barty, Jeff. Stop spreading...
You lit up Billy Barty.
You took him to town.
I don't want to hear any of your crap tonight, Jeff. I don't want to hear any of your crap tonight. Those words, they make me woozy. Anyway, we have a guest lined up, and he is in our queue, so I want to talk about it real quick before we bring him in. Okay. We have all watched the exciting and fun and totally awesome, and I like to call these things the thing that we need right now. Documentary, The Last Blockbuster, not The Lackluster Box, but The Last Block. Well, I've seen those too. The Last Blockbuster is a Netflix documentary film about the rise and fall of Blockbuster Video and the very last Blockbuster, which is in Bend, Oregon, and managed by Sandy Harding, who is also one of the main, well, the main focus, I would say, of the documentary. Narrated by Lauren Lapkus, who we know from lots of TV shows, correct? Am I right about that? Tons and tons of stuff. She's a great actress. She's funny. And a good comedian. Features Doug Benson, Kevin Smith, Ron Funches, who we're going to talk about because I thought he was funny as shit. Yeah. I thought he was great. Actress Ione Skye, for some reason, who was one of my big crushes back in the late 80s, early 90s.
River's Edge.
Yeah, River's Edge. And that's some, Eat Pray, Gas Food Logic. Brian Posehn, Jamie Kennedy, Paul Scheer, and more. And plus, a guest of ours tonight, he is a film critic, a journalist, actor, and manager of a boutique art house theater in Bend, Oregon, right where that Blockbuster is, where he is a short 6-minute walk from the last Blockbuster in the known universe. He was the breakout star of the last Blockbuster documentary. And that, by the way, was Jeff's Radio Labyrinth staff pick on season 5, episode 51. And currently it is in the top 10. How come you picked it so early? Anyway, we'll find out. And it's currently in the top 10 on Netflix after its debut this week. So without any further ado, we will now welcome Jared Rasik to our show. Hello. And he's coming in. So we'll see.
Oh, hey.
Hey, welcome to the show. Our guest is Jared. And I'm saying it right. Rasik, right?
Rasik. Yeah.
All right, cool. And I just saw a whole bunch of you last night. And then Jeff goes, oh, I know him. And I'll ask him to come on. I'm like, wow. But nice. the block, man, I am not able to talk tonight. The blockumentary. But I guess that's it.
That'd be a great name for it.
The blockumentary. Yes.
Yeah.
The Netflix documentary film about the last Blockbuster was, I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know what to expect when I turned it on and started watching it. And I loved it every minute of it. I'd even get up to go have a cigarette. So
nice.
I mean, it was incredible. You were fantastic on it. And so thank you for coming on.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Let me ask you, I don't know if Jeff did it. Are you able to turn your phone?
Let me see if I can. I'm wondering why it's not.
There we go.
Yeah, I think the iPhone's native. They give you a portrait.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay.
Awesome.
That's much better. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Cool.
There we go.
Yay.
Thank you, man. Oh, look at that awesome shirt.
Yeah, I love your shirt.
Oh, yeah. Stay golden, everyone.
That's so awesome. That's great. Almost everyone we've been able to interview this last year on Zoom has had these awesome shirts, or they have really cool stuff behind them. So this is my favorite part of doing these kind of interviews. Just everybody has cool stuff.
Yeah, and little windows into people's lives.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's great. Big W. Earl Brown fan too, I think. So he can check out our recent episode with him that's on YouTube, where you can see all Earl's artwork in the background and all this.
That's amazing. Stuff. Yeah, big fan of that guy.
This little baby Yoda that he's got back there.
That's incredible.
I'm rewatching Deadwood right now.
Ooh, what season?
I'm at the end of season one.
Okay.
I'm like pacing myself. You know, I already watched it, but it's like even better the second time around. It really is. You miss a lot of stuff. There's a whole lot of dialogue in that show.
I still haven't watched that final movie just because I love knowing it exists without having seen it yet. So it's not over for me forever yet. I still have that one little thing left.
They didn't put it on DVD so you could walk over to the Blockbuster and check it out for the weekend?
Oh, it's there. I've seen it there, and I'm tempted every time I go in there to grab it. Every time.
That is the same philosophy I have. When I was a kid, the show Good Times was on every day after school, and I loved that show. And I never, ever have seen the finale. I even bought it off of a service. You know, I have that episode on this computer that I'm looking at, right, but I've never watched it because I just want to know it's there. And I'm like, that's bad. I will watch it. I know what happens. I just have never seen it. It's the one episode. So
it's nice having that just for when you really need it.
Yeah. Your enthusiasm is just infectious. It really is. And just like you're a professional cherisher.
You know, that's I used to, when I started writing film reviews here in Bend, Oregon, I used to get a lot of flack because I was so, I guess I was maybe a little extra kind to movies, like, because ultimately I do want to love everything. I take no pleasure in hating anything, or, you know, it's one thing to be critical, but it's one thing to just be snarky for the sake of hearing your own voice. And I don't know. I think I appreciate the work that gets, you know, put into art, and I don't ever want to tear it down just to hear my own voice. I don't think that's good for anybody. And it's definitely not good for the future of, you know, criticism or film or, you know, creating more with our lives. It can get ugly. I don't know. I like liking things. It's nice to be unironically joyful, I guess.
Well, it's good to have that attitude today too, because there's so much, you know, honesty seems to be going by the wayside just for the sake of shock value or the shit.
Yeah,
like you said, the sake of saying something just to say it.
Right.
I like reviewers that can give an honest review, you know, even if it's not popular to like it. I mean, big reason why I'm a Kevin Smith fan, you know, Kevin seems to love everything, but I get why he loves it. He loves it because he loves the art, and that makes a difference.
Yeah. It's a part of his, you know, I remember just 3 or 4 days ago, or maybe it was a week now, when he watched the finale of WandaVision. And instead of writing some big long review, he just posted a photo of his crying face. And it was like, you don't need to say more than that. You said it with the tear rolling down your cheek, you know, like, we know what you're going to say now. It's that simple. Yeah, it's beautiful.
So some of us on this show, I would say me, tend to sometimes get into an outrage spiral or love the negativity spiral, and then get on YouTube and watch those takedown videos. And I haven't done that in a long time. And it's because every once in a while I see something like The Last Blockbuster, or a movie that I didn't know about that I watched, or a series. I think the last series that really grabbed me and just made me so happy because it was beautiful and the acting was so good was, and now I've lost my train of thought. What was the show? Raised by Wolves. That show was magical. And then I got into The Expanse, Late to the Dance. But I loved every minute of that show. And those are the kind of things that, you know, like last night, I was in a very, very bad mood yesterday afternoon. And I sat down. I said, I'm not going to go out and smoke. I'm going to put my phone on the other side of the room and sit and watch this. I didn't get up. I watched the whole thing and I loved it. And it was because it was positive. It was a positive message, and everybody was so happy, and all the all the actors and all the reviewers, and it was just great. So again, I just want to say that. I mean, I love that positivity. Seeing you, you know, walking across the railroad tracks and going into the store. I mean, I was smiling, so that made me happy.
Yeah. And I mean, that really, Zeke and Taylor, the filmmakers, they really did film me in my house and filmed me walking to the Blockbuster. That is the exact path I take to walk there when, you know, whenever I go. And it was really neat getting to, because we didn't know each other previously to that movie. They saw my review, or I wrote a story about it being the last Blockbuster for my local paper. And they saw the story I wrote and, you know, saw some of my enthusiasm about it. And so they contacted me to do it. And so it was so nice to like get to, because I feel very lucky being able to be someone as into movies as I am and as obsessed with film culture and everything as I am, and then get to walk out my front door for 5 minutes and walk to the last Blockbuster is just, it's something I don't take for granted, but it also still feels very surreal to me, you know, that I just get to, because I go there to rent movies. And while you're there renting movies, you see people I remember one of the last times I was there, a guy was there from Spain who he was just in town for a couple of days and was like, I had to come here. It's my number one most important stop, you know?
And he's in the movie, right?
What's that?
The guy from Spain made it into the movie, right?
Yeah, he made it into the movie, but there's constant endless streams of like, because it's right next to a Papa Murphy's Pizza, and so if you're there to get pizza, you'll be standing there waiting for your pizza and watch 20 or 30 people take their photos outside. That's just crazy. while you're waiting. It's insane. I think there's way more people that show up to get their picture taken now than actually go inside to, you know, to find Chud or something like that, you know.
Jeff tell you that?
Do they have Chud in there? Because we can never get it as kids.
They don't. I wish they did, though. I used to write for the film site Chud 10 years ago, so I have like a special love for that movie. And they don't. They really don't have a lot of, that's the thing, is they don't really have a lot of room in there. It's a pretty small Blockbuster, you know, as compared to the Blockbusters that have been around. And there's not a whole lot of room for like the old library of films. They pretty much have 75% is dedicated to their new releases, and then they just have these little pockets. But they have a really great selection of like those weird direct to DVD horror movies that you don't get to find anywhere anymore. Mm-hmm. I found one recently in there called Incidents in a Dreamland, which I'd never seen. And it was from the guy that directed Martyrs, if I remember right. And it was this great little, you know, nothing horror movie that I never would have found if I wasn't, you know, walking around Blockbuster.
That's awesome.
I don't, this might not be popular, but I was a big Blockbuster person, and then Hollywood Video came to town. You guys never had the Hollywood Video in Bend, did you?
We did. I worked there. I worked there for 3 years. Yeah. And I was the Hollywood Video guy too.
They had some deep cuts at the Hollywood Video. Like you could find stuff there you couldn't find anywhere. And I loved that place until my dog crapped in the seat of my car and I didn't see it, and I sat in it, and then I wore it into the Hollywood Video. So there's video of me swatting a turd off of my butt at the front of the store.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. Like from the camera inside inside the Hollywood. Yes.
There has to be. And perfect. I assume that they show that to the new hires at the time. You're like, what do you do if somebody comes in here and takes a crap at the front of the store? Because it happened.
Yeah. We don't let her into the store anymore.
He picks shitty movies anyway.
Totally. This is what I think of your movies.
All dogs go to heaven. Dustin, you brought up something interesting before we started the podcast. I want you to bring that up.
Oh, Unwinder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Are you guys looking to do some more?
Yeah, we are. We've kind of been waiting for things to mellow out a little bit. I think now, I mean, the Blockbuster stayed open through the pandemic. They were bringing, if you wanted movies, you could email them and they would bring them out to your car, like shrink wrapped. And but now they're kind of wide open in there. And because normally when we were recording, we would set up right in front of the new release section. So people would have to like reach past us and through us to rent movies. But I really miss doing it. We've been kind of off the air doing it for, I think, a year now, and I'm itching to get back. I'm doing another podcast here in Bend. I work for I help run a boutique art house movie theater called Tin Pan Theater, and we have a podcast called Small Town Film Ghosts, because we only have 29 seats, so we can't be open to the public for probably a few more weeks, maybe another month. So we sit around in our empty theater and, you know, record us talking about movies, and we feel like the kind of the ghosts of the cinema. But yeah, I've been trying to talk Zeke into doing some more Unwinder. I would love to.
And Unwinder was a podcast that you did from inside that Blockbuster, right?
Yeah, we did. I believe it ended up being 27 or 28 episodes for our first season.
Okay.
And it was an absolute blast. We had some really great guests come on, and we were recording our first ever episode, and one of my favorite rappers on earth came walking into Blockbuster because he was in town doing a show, and I came up and I was like, I'm one of your biggest fans. Would you come sit in on our podcast? So he came and sat in and was our guest on our first episode, just because he was in Blockbuster at the time. You know, it was a magical experience recording in there for sure.
Who was it?
Tupac Shakur.
Murs.
Oh.
Murs.
He's like LA rapper. He's been around for like 20, 25 years now. Just really, really good stuff. He comes and plays Bend all the time.
How do you spell it? Because I'm getting the Middle East Respiratory Syndrome.
It's MURS, MERS. Okay,
there we go.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll check that out. I like to.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
I like to check out stuff I don't know when guests bring it up. So I always put it in another tab and look at it later.
Yeah, yeah. He's really great. Really, really, really conscious guy. Very intelligent.
So with this theater, is this the same place that you guys do the film fest?
Yeah, Bend Film Festival. So Bend Film Festival bought Tin Pan Theater. So they're like our umbrella, you know, our parent company, basically. And every year we show movies for Bend Film. But normally, you know, pre-pandemic, it would have been, we're open 7 weeks showing like whatever kind of the bigger art house are at the time. Lately, because we haven't been able to be open, we've been showing movies outside in the alley in front of the theater. We've been showing 70s and 80s ski and snowboard movies, and that's ended up being extremely, extremely popular. Even with like an inch of snow on the ground, people still come and sit in their, you know, in their jackets and drink beer and watch snowboard videos out in the snow. It's been great.
Where is Bend, Oregon?
Smack dab right in the middle. We're about 2 hours and 40 minutes south of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
About right in there. But we're in the, yeah, up in the mountains. Aside from the last Blockbuster, I guess our other big claim to fame is we have Deschutes Brewery, which is the second largest craft brewery in the country.
What's the beer?
Deschutes.
Okay.
That's like Mirepoix Pale Ale and Black Butte Porter. They're just giant craft beers. That's kind of our other big thing here in Bend. And then Sony has, for PlayStations, Sony has their own offices here, and they work on specific big like AAA titles here in town too. It's a weird place, because also like the legendary quarterback Drew Bledsoe is a high school football coach here. Like he's retired.
Wow.
Teaching. Yeah. It's really strange. Like I've seen, you know, Matthew Fox stumbling down the street drunk at 3 a.m. before. Like it's Chino Moreno of Deftones lives here. Like it's a, it's a weird place. It really is. I really stand by what I said in the movie, how it feels like a little bit of Twin Peaks and a little bit of Gravity Falls, like combined. It's a weird place. I don't know. It's a lot different than it was when I moved here, for sure.
And now, can't you just like sit in a McDonald's and shoot up heroin if you want to?
Oh yeah, totally. Yeah,
that was my big question.
Pretty much all drugs have been basically decriminalized. Yeah, I think I haven't seen too much of a difference yet, but I'm ready for it. Like I'm but it is it's such a small town America thing, because I can, you know, a block past that last Blockbuster is 4 dispensaries, you know.
That's what I was going to say. I wondered where the closest dispensary was.
I think Bend has maybe 30 of them now. We have 30 dispensaries and I think 25 or 30 microbreweries, and it's a weird place, but it's amazing. Like I can't imagine. And it's a town of about 100,000 people. So every kind of square inch of this town, there's something different for everyone to do, you know.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, it's gorgeous here. I don't ski or snowboard, but I like hiking, and we have a bunch of beautiful lakes and trails, and it's a nature lover's paradise here for sure, which is ironic that I spend most of my time watching movies in a dark room. But I love it. I wouldn't change anything.
Nostalgia aside,
yeah.
Do you still use? I mean, do you use the streaming services to watch movies and TV? And I know I watched the movie, so asking you which you prefer, but which do you prefer?
You know,
or the having to hunt for something.
I love hunting for stuff. I actually, we have a local pawn shop here that has about 15 or 20,000 DVDs in it at any given time. And I go there specifically trying to find like 70s to mid 80s horror movies. And they're easily ones I could order off Amazon or something like that. But for me, the joy is when you find it. I heard there was a Steven Seagal movie where he fights vampires. And this one day I found it at that pawn shop and I like screamed out loud and everybody don't scream in a pawn shop is the lesson.
Why? What were they worried about? That you're going to rob them or something?
Yeah. I think library voices in pawn shops is the way to go with that one. I will never not prefer physical media, and I don't know why. It's just something ingrained in me. I love the convenience of watching something on Netflix, or I'm a huge fan of Shudder. I think the curation of the films on that site and the curation of the films on like HBO Max are gorgeous. Like, I think they do such a good job on those sites, actually finding movies that people will either want to see or be so stoked that they discovered themselves. But just, I don't know. I have about 10,000 DVDs and probably about 3,000 or 4,000 VHSs, and I don't really know that I'm ever going to get rid of them. Like I because if your power goes out or if your Wi-Fi goes out, you know, you can always, you know, grab your copy of the thing and throw it on and you're set, you know. But I don't ever feel like physical media will ever go the way of the dinosaur, because ultimately, you know, records kind of found their way back. And I work with a few teenagers who were absolutely obsessed with getting their music on tapes. And I never thought we would go back to tapes again. I never saw that coming. So
I don't, you know, because they break so easily.
Yeah.
They get caught up in the machine.
Yeah. Yeah,
they can be resurrected.
You know,
with
I think
a pencil.
Every other form of making or, you know, listening to music sounds better than tapes. Like all of them do.
Even 8-track. It's wider tape and there's more material on.
Yeah, there's more on there. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, what you said though, that show Last Man on Earth with Will Forte, and then after the whole world had went to crap, and that was one of the things that they did on there was watch DVDs, because there's no streaming anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
They were they were forever looking for new stuff to watch.
Yeah, that made me so happy in the new Paramount Plus or whatever it's called now version of The Stand. Was the very first episode of the new version of The Stand was post-apocalyptic, looking around, and the main character, they're going through houses looking for people that are infected, and the first thing he does is looks through their Blu-ray collection to see if they can find something for movie night, you know.
Another great thing about owning physical media is if something gets taken off of streaming for whatever reason, and you still own it, you know what I mean? Because South Park season 5, Super Best Friends, you're never going to find that anywhere streaming, but if you own the DVD, you can watch it still, and it's a
episode,
but you know why it's not there, and but you if you have it, you have it, you know, lots of stuff
like that.
I still have a ton of DVDs, but all my VHS collection is like behind the beaded curtain.
Yeah. Nice. Jeff was a master at the dubbing VHS tapes in high school. So we're going to go back to about 1987, 86. And he had the two VCRs.
What's the statute of limitations on that?
Oh, hey, the movie store. The movie store.
You're probably okay.
Yeah, you're fine. But he'd record the movies and go, here's the movie you watch. Some of them were the behind the beaded curtain types, but you had regular movies too. And, one movie that I rediscovered recently is called Night Patrol from 1984 with the Unknown Comic and Pat Paulson and Billy Barty and, Linda Blair. Have you seen that film?
I've never seen it.
It's like Police Academy, completely politically incorrect Police Academy with gross out humor and Pat Morita and all these people you'll recognize. Andrew Dice Clay when he was Andy Clay in this movie. And some of the grossest jokes. But I was 14 when I discovered that movie and I felt subversive watching it, and I recorded it and watched it over and over again. And I rediscovered it and I remember, oh yeah, you do have that on DVD. So in my piles and piles of DVDs, it's there. So I don't know why I brought it up then, but
no,
that's I watched it on YouTube I don't know. It brought me back, and that's the thing that the last Blockbuster did, walking into the video store. And the one Jeff and I went to was a family owned place in our little town in Pennsylvania. You had to take the little metal tag off the hook and then take it up to the counter. And then they gave you the big black box with the VHS.
Oh, yeah.
And then you had to rewind. So everybody had to buy a rewinder. I think I still have two movies from Blockbuster, but they're on DVD. So I just have, they have the Blockbuster logo on them. Why not?
Yeah. I think you're probably good on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I was hoping that the slate has been wiped clean from above the rim that was stolen out of my car that I never paid them the $80 they said I owed for it. Man.
I lost a copy of Hellraiser 2, I think, when I was a junior in high school, and it was 90 bucks. And I remember my grandma being like, why are you running something called Hellraiser? Like, it's okay, grandma. It's much worse than you think. Like,
I think part two is even worse than one.
Yeah. Way, way worse. Yeah. Just as many skinless people.
What's the Jason Patrick, Jennifer Jason Lee movie? I can't remember right this second.
Rush.
I had that out for a year and I owed over $120 to this pizza place in our town that rented movies. And
How can you owe more than the tape is worth?
Because they charge you every day. And it was out for it had to have been over a year. And they were really mad at me, but I sweet talked the lady that worked the counter and she erased it for me. I was too scared to go in there, about the movie.
You were trying to perfect your Greg Allman impersonation.
I never watched it. That's the thing.
That's the one where they were drug addicts, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Greg Allman is all like in the courtroom doing the like a shotgun across the face.
I told you to get out of my car. So when can we look?
So have you seen Rush since?
Oh yeah. I saw it after.
Okay.
I saw it after.
Okay.
That. That's how I mean.
After you took it back.
Yeah. I think I watched it on HBO or something years later. I was like, I better watch this movie.
When he bangs her hair when fits away.
Yeah, totally.
That horrible scene where Greg Allman goes, I told
horrible movie.
Get out of my car and they shoot him.
Yeah. Poor Greg Allman.
Yeah. It's been a while since they filmed the movie. How's the Blockbuster holding up? Are they still business as usual?
Yeah, look, it's business as usual. I was in there 3 or 4 days ago, and there was probably 10 or 15 people in the store, and they were all walking around, like, looking at the movies and renting things. A lot of, you know, they have that section with the Russell Crowe's costumes in it, and a lot of people kind of go in there and take a lot of photos there. But it actually looked like most of the people in there this time were locals that were just there renting movies. But yeah, Sandy's still in there every day doing her thing. And, you know, she is that nice. Like, she's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met in my entire life. Just instantly made me feel like family. She's going to be mad when she finds out that I actually do still have that copy of Insidious 2 that I was renting in the movie. I accidentally walked out with it and I have not taken it back yet. I just remembered that.
You can blame the pandemic, can't you?
Yeah. I think they can forgive me a little, but yeah, it's doing great.
Good. She seems like a really nice person, like you just said, and that really across on screen that she loves this place. She loves the people. And when she got that phone call that she got to extend it, she had a big beaming smile. I mean,
yeah,
I haven't seen this movie and you're watching this or listening to our podcast and you have Netflix and, you know, you're not borrowing a password from a friend because, you know, they're cracking down. Anyway, watch this movie, especially if you're Gen X or a little bit younger, millennial age, you know, that you went to a video store. You're going to remember all these things that you had forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, the most surreal and kind of rewarding thing about the whole so far has been just the last like 72 hours or so since the movie came out on Netflix. I've gotten so many like Instagram messages and Facebook messages from people being like, I saw you in the movie. I never really cared about like renting a movie at a video store before, and you made me like wish for something I've never had. And then simultaneously, I've gotten a lot of messages from people my own age that are like, man, I did not expect it to be that nostalgic. I did not expect to actually get tears in my eyes thinking about the smell of the popcorn and
you know,
just the whole thing. Yeah. It's been really nice to see how it made people feel.
I got all tingly thinking about it. You know, that not, but I got the shivers and the voice of the guy whose name I don't recall. He was, by the way, great. And I don't know why I don't remember it, but the guy who was doing all the voices, like Chris Walken and
oh yeah. Oh God. I can't believe I can't think of his name either. He's the voice of, he's the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi on the Clone Wars cartoons.
That's right.
So yeah, he's huge.
Those people that grew up working in those stores ended up being entertainment or film or in one aspect of the entertainment industry or another. Just amazing. Like the video store where Jeff and I used to get our movies was called the Movie Store. It was owned by the Fox family. Well, one of the kids that worked there ended up writing for Law and Order SVU for years. And, you know, it's Kevin Fox is his name. And he wrote some of that really cool seasons 3 to whatever. But recent writer and all that comes from obsession with film and being in these places. He might have been the one who told us Chud was out. No,
I think Chud. It was his older brother. What? Chud is out.
Yeah, Chud is out.
We'd walk in the door and he'd be like, "Chud is out."
The guy who created Chud is in this movie, and there wasn't enough of him. I want to see a documentary about that guy because he seems interesting. Tell you,
Chud, but what about Chud 2?
Yeah,
Bud the Chud.
Is Chud 2 on Blockbuster?
Can you imagine if they only had Chud 2? Like,
how do I follow this? There's no reference.
That'd be so sad.
It's like that Saturday Night Live sketch from back in the 80s where Eddie Murphy's mad because the character he's playing is mad because the video story doesn't have Scream Blackula Scream. You remember that, Jeff?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for coming on our podcast. And
absolutely.
Anything you want to promote or plug, or
you know, you just I'm just happy that people are watching the movie. And you know, my personal, I would love to see the movie make it to number one on Netflix on their for their top 10. That's kind of what I'm pushing for. But yeah, just that. And, you know, I love to promote the love of movies and not the kind of the dissemination of them to the point where you just love tearing it down, I guess. Like I don't know. I love movies so much that it makes me happy that people are talking about them. You know, that's, I feel like, you know, I think years and years ago, Ebert said something along the lines of, you know, the reason he loved film so much was that they were a machine for empathy. And I've always found that to be, to me, the most important thing about movies, is especially now in 2021, it's like, empathy is something that we could, like, everyone could use maybe a little more of. And, you know, the more movies that I think people watch and the more kindness that we let into ourselves, hopefully we can kind of spread more out with everybody.
Can I just say, have you seen Uncle Peckerhead?
I've watched the first 15 minutes of it. I haven't finished it yet. Is it amazing as those first 15 minutes are? It's amazing.
And what's funny is I watched it last week and it already put me in that nostalgic, because it's very much like a 90s indie horror comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's set in the 90s is what it seems to be, but it's so good. I mean, it's so good.
I fell asleep, I think, and I didn't get to finish it. And you just reminded me I need to. Thank you. Yeah, it was fantastic. I always love the idea of monster movies where the monster is super likable. And so you don't know whether you're supposed to be afraid or like be the little spoon for him, you know? I don't know. You never know.
And it's so gory. It's so over the top gory.
Yeah. I love it. But yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you taking your time to come on and talk about the movie that we all loved.
Jared, right on. That means a lot.
And Jared, I want to thank you again. You didn't know this when you made the movie that it would affect me the way it did, but it really injected me with a lot of positivity and positive emotions, which, you know, I'm up and down crazy, but I loved the passion in that film. You and Doug Benson, you know, he's always been a film guy. And
yeah,
when you're down, you can go listen to one of his CDs or his podcast or whatever. But my point overall is I love the positivity. I love the movie. And I think everyone needs to watch it. Make it number one on Netflix. And anytime you have something you want to promote or plug, let Jeff know. And we'll certainly do that for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jared.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jared.
Bye.
Thank you. Have a good one, guys.
You too. Bye.
All right, now I'm going to thank our sponsors. We have two sponsors. They've been with us for a long time, and they stuck with us throughout the first year of the COVID pandemic. We don't know how long it's going to last this year, so let's just say the first year, and we hope that it won't go on much longer than that. But anyhow, I want to thank Mike Hall and Atlanta Pizza and Gyro. Serving Conyers in the East Metro Atlanta area since 1983. Mike Hall and his staff truly appreciate your business and thank you for your continued support during the year that never happened, or we wish never happened. When's the last time you guys were out there?
We all went out there when they opened. Yeah.
Well, I've been out since then a couple times. Mm-hmm. But didn't we recently have a listener show up there?
Yeah, Tim went out there.
Yeah, Tim Allen, he goes out there weekly.
Oh,
okay. I think he eats lunch a couple of times a week out there. He's a great radio.
If you go out there, and I notice that some people do this, if you go to Atlanta Pizza and Euro, post on our social media, either in the Radio Shack or on our Facebook page. Let us know that you were there, and we'll give you a shout out for in both of our sponsors.
Get their Greek salad. They make their own dressing, and it is out of this world.
And cannoli. Get the cannoli.
Get the cannoli, yeah.
But leave the gun at home. Atlanta Pizza and Euro is open for dine-in services, or if you prefer, you can give them a call and place your own takeout order. You can also order online for pickup or delivery through their website at AtlantaPizzaEuro.com. And I've made a decision when it comes to this kind of thing. If I'm going to order something and the restaurant doesn't deliver, I'm going to go pick it up, because I'm sick of Uber and their Uber Eats or any of those things. They take their middleman cut. Then you got to tip the driver, which I don't mind doing that at all. But a lot of times they screw your order up and then you're left with nothing. And plus, restaurants kind of get fucked by those apps. So if you can, do whatever you can to just go pick it up. That's what I'm going to do. Visit them on Facebook or leave them a positive review on Google, as it helps their business continue to grow. And our other sponsor, I would be remiss to leave him out. And that would be Brett Perkins and his business, LDI Repro Printing of Athens, Georgia. They have all your construction printing needs, commercial or residential, in Athens since 2000. Let me scroll this up so I don't say it wrong. 2005. I didn't want to give them two extra years. With a fast turnaround and affordable prices, if you're in the market for something that he has to offer you, call 706-316-9366 or email at athens@ldiline.com.
And I know Brett personally. He's a hell of a guy. And he has great taste in movies and comedy. And yeah, you should totally do business with him if you're building some shit.
Hell yeah. Call, goddammit.
He should come on the show sometime. Tell us about
he should.
Backpacks and shit, and tell us about his business.
Yeah. All right, we'll do that. Hey, if you're out there and you'd like to be a sponsor of Radio Labyrinth, just hit me up. We'll figure it out. All right?
Now we got to bring this clown on.
Oh, it's fucking Ira.
Who died?
In Ira.
Hello, Ira. Can you hear us?
He's got his sound off.
He's muted.
He's muted. Yay.
How about now?
There we go.
Hey. Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I need to be louder or is this good?
Oh, you sound great, man. Good to see you, Ira Malkin.
Yeah, man.
Well, you guys sound good. You look good. Good to see you.
Same.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
How are you? Congrats to you, Tim.
Thank you. Thank you.
Haven't seen you since the news.
Thank you. That's my Henry Hill, young Henry Hill. Thank you.
I got one morsel of advice for you.
Yes.
When your kid is toddler age, I don't know, maybe 2, 3, something like that, they're going to be running around a lot.
Okay.
Running all over the place, up and down and all over.
Up and down and zooming all over.
Now, the only thing that is going to happen around the house with you.
Yeah.
Is you're going to get hit in the balls constantly.
Okay.
I mean, all the time.
Good.
Like every 5 seconds.
I don't like that. But thank you for the warning.
I'm just letting you know that now. So in a couple of years, we'll remember this conversation. Okay.
I'll go get a cod piece. I'm going to go buy a cod piece tonight. I think I'll get the one that Sting wore in Dune.
That's a good idea.
It's a good cod piece.
Did you get that Russell Crowe one from Cinderella? Yeah,
that Russell Crowe one's not in the last blockbuster. We need to find where that is.
You stole that. Did you watch the last? I want to say it again. Did you watch the last blockbuster, Ira?
I didn't. I didn't realize it was out yet, but I really want to.
We just had one of the guys from it. One of the guy actually lives 5 minutes away from this blockbuster, and he's in the movie, and he can walk to it. And
really,
I mean, it's the ultimate. You got a pizza place, not a chance. You got a pizza place, blockbuster, and then across the street dispensary. So you know you got your weekend all laid out for you.
And where are they, in Alaska?
No, Bend, Oregon.
Yeah.
Well, I was close.
There were three other blockbusters in Alaska, but those closed.
Oh, I see.
You'll learn that in the movie.
So you guys all did watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's
an easy watch. It's like once you get going on, it's not like you can stop. You just got to keep going.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And the directors, whoever the creators or the director, they did a great job making it something that will keep your interest. You know, there's the history of Blockbuster. There's commentary from people that you like. And then there's the lady who runs the final Blockbuster and how nice she is and the people that work there. It's a real good watch.
Now, did I talk about the little room in the back that they used to have with the swinging doors?
They do, but they don't. Blockbuster never had
those. Blockbuster doesn't have those. No,
that was the first thing I asked my first day of work at Blockbuster was, where's the little room?
Yeah. Like,
you worked at a Blockbuster.
Yeah, why didn't you say that earlier?
Come on.
I mean, I figured a lot of people worked at Blockbuster. I worked there for 2 years. But wow. I mean, it was fun, and it was funny because in the movie they talk about the comedian that also worked there. The one you mentioned earlier.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Everything he said was dead on. I mean, it was that job where you could come in and with a movie knowledge you ruled there. It was like, yeah, everybody came to you. It's like, you know, who was in that movie? I mean, I played that game, you know, every right. day. That was, yeah, you know, and got paid for it, which was, I mean, awesome.
That's where the original Staff Picks moniker came from, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's totally, it was fun. I enjoyed it, but yeah, it was very, that movie is very nostalgic in more ways than one.
You I know? Bet.
Especially the, when they started talking about the smells, that was one thing that I completely forgotten, but it's amazing how it floods back to you.
Boxed smell.
Yeah. That plastic and popcorn. Cause you can't get that smell of popcorn out of there.
No. Did you hide in the return bin whenever people would put their movies in?
No, but we did scare people in the return bin. Like, they would go to stick movies in and we'd reach up and grab them and pull them in, and they'd look, everybody would look in the hole.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I was a pretty early user of the original Netflix, you know, with the DVD.
Mm-hmm.
When it, I'm really like when it first came out. Does anybody remember when that was?
That would have been around 2001.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was there too.
Were you?
I did the mail stuff. Yeah. Yeah, I did those. I got the thing, I think up to three movies a week, yep, or something like that.
It was a great, and I remember when it came out thinking, whoosh, what's this going to do to Blockbuster? You know,
well, Blockbuster tried to do it.
They could have bought, yeah, Netflix for $50 million. They zigged when they should have zagged.
Oh, is it? They had that opportunity.
Yeah, had the opportunity to buy Netflix in the very beginning, and they didn't do it. And yeah,
their ego just killed them.
And what was Blockbuster's mail order thing called?
Blockbuster.
That's all it was.
Blockbuster Digital.
Yeah.
Digital. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, I think, yeah, I did that because they were offering like a free month of it or something. I said, I'll try it. I'll see if it's any better.
But it wasn't. No, it was the same. And Netflix was better. And Netflix continually got better and better and better and better.
Yeah.
And more accessible. And then when they went streaming, I mean, like, see you later, Blockbuster. Right.
And then when they started producing their own content, I mean, look at them.
And now, I mean, you got all these other HBO Maxes and Amazon Prime and Hulu and all these other ones to compete. I mean, there's so much crap to watch. You can never watch it all.
Yeah, you can't.
I'm still waiting for the reckoning, though, when Netflix and Disney Plus or whatever buy up all these other ones.
Well, you know, they're already talking about bundling everything now again, and it's like, well, we're right back to cable.
Yep. Yeah, but then if you have cable right now, and you have a cable modem, and you subscribe to all this shit, they're going to have to find a way to gel all that together, because, or just, you know, broadcast TV just stays broadcast TV and you need an antenna. I don't know. They got to figure it out, though, because no one's going to pay $200 a month for, you know, movies and stuff. Or maybe they will. I don't know.
Yeah, they did. They did for a long time with regular cable. And now we're just going to get back to that. So whatever.
Yeah, we got to have Discovery Plus. I got to have the Cooking Channel. I got to have everything's a la carte now.
Yeah,
but if you don't need to have sports, like, I don't need to have ESPN because I'm not a big sports guy, and I don't need to have Hulu, and I don't even have Apple TV because I haven't found anything on there I like. So you can just start eliminating stuff and then get it down to something.
You'd like Ted Lasso if you gave it a chance.
Yeah, somebody was just talking about that with me tonight. Really, I would.
Yeah, there's no way you can't not like it.
Yeah.
It's so well done and charming, and Sudeikis is amazing.
Yeah, it's funny. We were just talking about that literally 30 minutes ago.
So for people who are newer to Radio Labyrinth and may not know, you know, that would have to be relatively new because I've been with us since we started in 2015, right? December 2015, I believe.
Is that when it was?
Yeah. We've been at it for a while.
I know.
In fact, gave me the idea to do the show. And we came up with the name together and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so one of the movies we've talked about over and over again that we both love is Midnight Run.
Yeah.
And that's Robert De Niro, Charles Grodin, and an actor who we lost recently, Yaphet Kotto. Hope I'm saying
Kotto or Kotto?
Yaphet Kotto.
Kotto.
Yeah.
Is it's Kotto? Yeah.
I believe so. Yeah. I don't. But you know who we're talking about.
Right.
He was so great as FBI agent Alonzo
Mosley.
And get a cigarette I can borrow.
Watch your cigarettes with this guy, Jack.
Yeah. Watch your cigarettes with this guy, Jack. One of my favorite movies from 1988, so long ago, but yeah. I still love watching it whenever I get a chance to watch it. We talked about it all the time. Cotto was also in The Running Man. He was an instrumental character in getting them out of the prison. He and well, I don't remember the other actors right off the top of my head, but he was in the prison with Arnold Schwarzenegger's character. Remember, they didn't trust Arnold because he was the butcher of Bakersfield.
That's right.
The hell with you.
It was a setup.
Yes, it was a setup. Oh, these are on the band list. But he was such a huge character in the movies. Whenever he was on a screen, he just took everything over.
He was cool, though, man. I mean, every character he portrayed, he just, you know, just had a cool way of, it was real easy going, you know?
Yep.
Was he in Escape from New York?
Probably.
I have his career open right here. I think him coming into our wheelhouse as far as movies go. I
mean, Alien.
If you like Bond movies, he was in Live and Let Die, and that's from 73. But I'm not a huge Bond fan. I like them, but I don't, I haven't seen all of them. But yeah, you're right. Alien, 1979. Brubaker, which is a movie you had to watch on HBO, but that was like a Southern sheriff movie, so he's in that. The Star Chamber, do you remember that movie?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, that was a creepy movie. Michael Douglas, Hal Holbrook. It was a crime movie. He's in it. Let's see.
Freddy's Dead, Final Nightmare.
No, he's in that?
Nope.
All right, Running Man, Midnight Run. Yeah, he is. Freddy's Dead, The Final Nightmare. Bruh, 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 bruh. Did a lot of TV, tons and tons of TV, episodes out the ass. And then he was a regular on Homicide, Life on the Street.
Well, that's crazy. He did so many Westerns.
Yeah.
I mean, he did like Gunsmoke and a few, like, I guess that whole era around that time, he was doing like Hawaii Five-0, Bonanza, Gunsmoke, Daniel Boone.
Yeah, his first episode on television was The Big Valley. So yeah, but that was what was on TV back then. Like we have,
and that was the jobs that actors could get.
Yeah,
he had to be the only black guy in every single episode of those.
Yeah,
yeah, that was the time.
I mean, now there were more roles for than just being a porter. So you're going back to the 30s and 40s for those roles, but I imagine his roles were actually characters that had some teeth, and you know, I'd have to go and look, but by that time I think that the characters were more than just one dimensional. Oh, he's going to carry your bags, or he's a servant, or whatever.
He wasn't just the cook in the camp.
Yeah. But it was the late 60s and the 70s when, you know, Hollywood directors stopped being assholes.
Yeah. I went to college in Baltimore, and that's where they shot Homicide.
Right.
So are you familiar with it? You know, there's the Inner Harbor.
Yeah, where the aquarium in Little Italy.
Yeah, so it's all touristy over there. But they have these water taxis that go across from like Fells Point to the Inner Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of cool. And you could get on and you're on there for like 10 minutes at the most. And you just pay $5 and it just takes you across the harbor. So we got on there one day and I think it was me and an old girlfriend of mine or something. We got on a water taxi and there was four other people on there. And there was Yaphet Kotto and with a girl.
Really?
And two other people on the boat, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm just looking at him, you know? And I think my girl, I was like, that's that guy that, you know, we're just trying to.
You didn't have a phone, you could look up his name.
Right. I didn't know his name. I'm like, I don't know who he is, and blah, blah, blah. So he looks at me because he knows I'm sitting there looking at him and he kind of gives me the nod, you know? And the only thing I could say was, I said, I'm a big Midnight Run fan. And he gave me like a little smirk and a thumbs up, but I could tell he didn't want to be bothered, really.
Right. Yeah. So. He didn't bum a smoke off you, did he?
He did not. Okay. You probably got that.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Well, rest in peace, man. Again, when a character like that, an actor like that, who is a character in so many different films that really are in our wheelhouse and most of our listeners' wheelhouse, it's always a kick in the gut, you know? Ira, I appreciate you coming on and talking.
Sure.
And we did lose someone else that was also big in the 80s. If you were a boxing fan, do you remember Marvelous Marvin Hagler?
Yeah.
In the fight against Thomas Hearns, which was just one of the most beautiful boxing matches of the 80s. if not ever, just a beautiful match where they were just, it was a street fight. They fought. Yeah. I watched it again the other day after he passed away. I watched the whole fight. It's on YouTube. And he would fight Sugar Ray Leonard. They had this whole thing going on in those days, and middleweights and were the guys that you watched back then. You know, you had your heavyweights, but in the 80s, I think, aside from Larry Holmes and Mike Tyson, everybody was just a lumbering, slow punching, boring, heavyweight fighter. And even Holmes wasn't like super exciting, you know, like when he beat the shit out of Jerry Clooney, that was a boring fight. And he did a lot of, I'm Larry Holmes. But Mike Tyson, he re-energized the heavyweight division. What, Jeff?
Do you remember that guy, Lance Freeman, that we went to college with?
Lance Freeman.
He was from Wellsboro. Mm-mm. He used to do, he was like the sparring guy for Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he would like put the gloves on and the head thing. And
yeah.
Didn't he legally change his name to Marvelous?
Marvelous Hagler.
Didn't he?
I don't know.
Yeah, his name is Marvelous Marvin Hagler.
Well, you know, Tommy Hitman Hearns, he's from Detroit.
Yeah.
And so he actually started drag racing. In the 80s, 90s or whatever. And like my stepdad, he didn't follow boxing at all. He just knew him as he also boxes, but he drag races.
He's a retired boxer.
Right.
Right.
He was in two of the biggest fights of the 1980s.
Right. But he drag races now. So that's what matters.
He beat the Bud King one time.
What's the controversy with Marvin Hagler though? His death. Do you know anything about that from being on Twitter?
Reddit.
His wife,
yeah, Reddit.
Come out and say
it's not his wife. His wife had to do that because before he died, Thomas Hearns shared a picture on Instagram and said, "Please pray for our friend Marvin Hagler, who is in the hospital suffering because of adverse effects to the COVID-19 vaccine." He didn't say which one, as far as I know, and that went out and went viral before Marvin Hagler died, and. Okay. And then so it went wild. It went all over the place. And people were saying he died of this and Hank Aaron died of it. And no wonder people don't want to take the vaccine. So his wife came out and said, that's not what happened. So, you know,
did she say what happened?
He had health problems. And,
okay.
And, you know, there's going to be complications.
Yeah. Well, he's an old boxer. Yeah. Your head gets a little, you get your bell wrong enough.
It couldn't be because he'd been punched in the head 100,000 times.
No.
Couldn't have anything to do with that.
And let's also not forget that how many millions of people by now have been vaccinated and they're all alive.
Well, I mean, it's just the African-American community and the Hispanic community have so much distrust for this vaccine.
Well, they should.
They do. And, you know, you're not going to convince them. I mean, we've had a war at my job. They tried to make it mandatory and people were like, I'll quit.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's so many people that are dying to get this vaccine that would love the opportunity to get it early at 20 years old or whoever, you know, whatever. And I mean, half our office doesn't want it.
Right.
So they just had to back off and just say, whatever. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Right now, it's like that South Park that we talked about that you'll never hear. Maybe I'll tag it on this show. I don't know. I don't want to make Dustin put it in the video, but the just all the old people who get vaccinated first driving around town acting all wild. Fuck you. Billy, fuck you.
That was just, I watched that. I was dying.
Yeah.
It was so funny.
Oh, God.
The beginning, anyway. I mean, the whole Walgreens nightclub.
Yeah.
So perfect.
Well, anyway.
Any of you guys get yours?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm getting mine Walgreens tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you, Jeff.
Did you get both stuff?
Yeah, I sure did. Yeah, I'm like 2 months out.
Are you?
Mm-hmm. I got it right before me and Tim had lunch that day. I had the COVID vaccine, and then I went straight to lunch with Tim.
And her eyes
passed out at the table.
I did. I passed out a few times.
Put it back in. I went to I got my annual physical yesterday, and I've been going to my doctor for 24 years. Now he was on
Dr. Knuckles.
Well, like
Dr. Jellyfingers.
Dr. Knuckles. No, but he's a great guy, Dr. Dr. Knuckles, and
Kenny Boom Butts.
And I said, I always ask him questions and stuff. And I said, so before I leave, I need a prescription for hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin. He starts laughing. He goes, if you want it, I'll get it for you. I don't know how to do for you. And he goes, just get the vaccine. And I go, yeah, but what about it? He goes, just get the vaccine.
Right.
And so any kind of worries or wonder that I had has been dispelled. And so I'm going to get it as soon as we're available. I think May 1st is when the general populace is able to go get it.
And I think a lot of the doctors at my job, they were highly offended, I think, that the staff think that they're stupid, and because they all got it.
Oh, the doctors all did, right?
Yes. And so I think they, some of them take it offensively, like, okay, I mean, we're just going to shoot ourselves up to die.
Right. Yeah. We're just doctors, and we went and got this.
We only went to school for 15 fucking years to be doctors.
Yeah. Fuck us. We don't know shit.
Oh, God. Well, Ira, thank you for coming on and talking about Yaphet Kotto and catching us up on you. You have to come back sometime and play a game with us.
Sure. We'll get together, pin each other up.
Your video of appearing at B's Crackling Barbecue popped up in my memories, I think, yesterday or the day before.
How long ago was it? Like two, three?
Maybe 4 years ago.
Was it that long?
That was a fun night. You guys were cooking that night.
Thanks. Yeah, it'll be a while till we get back to that stuff.
You still play? Are you still practicing, jamming?
No, I haven't looked at a microphone other than this one in like a year.
Man.
Wow, Ira.
Hey, Dustin, what's going on with your brother? They're starting to play a little bit, right?
Yeah, they've got shows set up this month in Florida.
Sorry, the radio in me has to say, tell everybody who your brother is and what band he's
in.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Broen Lawler, my brothers, he's the guitarist for St. Paul and the Broken Bones. They've got some shows they've been doing, Florida, Virginia, up to Virginia, so through the Carolinas, Tennessee. Actually, those shows that I just mentioned, those are actual real, in-person shows. You know, everyone's socially distanced and bubbled off. But they just did a last Friday. They did a concert, streaming concert from their hometown in Birmingham, and their whole first album was the it was an album concert. So they played the whole thing, first song to last.
What's it called? Broken City, something city.
Half the City.
Yeah, is that the album?
That's the first one. Yeah, right, and that they did that whole album, and then they just done they're doing the new album this Friday, tomorrow night. They'll be and you'll be able to see it online. You can go to stpaulandthebrokenbones.com, and even after this has already aired, you can still watch them.
Awesome.
Hey, I got two bubbles. I got two bubbles. Anybody need one?
Two bubbles. I need a miracle.
They're doing
bubble.
That too. It's funny.
Miracle bubble.
Miracle bubble. Miracle bubble.
I wanted to mention before we started recording the podcast, I was watching the Middletown live event they had on Facebook. Remember that play that we saw right before the pandemic?
Yeah.
Started?
Oh yeah.
With Adrian Smed, Donnie Most, Sandy Duncan, Didi Cohn. They were able to get a recording, like a recording of the performances. I don't know if it was one of the ones here or when they went back to Chicago, but they're offering that now for streaming. And they just had like a live hour Q&A on Facebook right before we recorded this podcast. And I was watching that.
You want to share it on our Radio Labyrinth Facebook page and also Radio Shack? Cool.
You can
Adrian Samed was awesome on the podcast.
Yep. Yeah, he was. And that play was great. I was crying at the end. Yeah, it was very sad at the end, but it was good. It was that's you're watching four people read scripts and you get emotional, then you know they're good actors. So
and it's a good story too, and well written. They had the author on the live stream too. So I'm sure they'll have that to be able to watch on Facebook.
Everything we did before COVID came and fucked our lives up.
Yep. I know, man. I miss being in the studio.
I do too.
Oh, I know, man.
Well, I went back to the studio this week. Radio, for work, I can go.
How's that been?
The first day, it was weird. I went back on Monday, And so, you know, now I'm getting, I got up at the same time as usual, but I'm like, oh, I have to take a shower today. some, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of these days I go 6 days without a shower, but I don't do that.
Ew.
Oh, what do you mean? Ew. What am
ew, I mean, ew, ew.
I wash everything.
It's got a natural cleansing situation.
Oh, believe me, I don't have that, but I have to do, I do manual cleaning. So anyway, but then going to work, it was amazing. All those wonderful things fell back into place. Look at this asshole on the bicycle. When's this guy going to use his turn signal? All that fun shit that,
oh yeah,
you know, on the way to work. And I get there and, you know, you have, there's COVID protocols, and rightly so, but you can go into the studio. Once you're in the studio, you can take your mask off, and everybody has their own microphone thingamajig. And, you know, it's cool because a lot of the people there never stopped going in. You know, the news people, they had no choice. They had to come in because they get, sure, you know, not a lot of radio stations have real news departments, and my job does. And they've been there every day. And the people who do the traffic have been there every day. And a lot of like, what?
It seemed like English Nick was there a lot. Was he going in all the
time? Well, English Nick is the midday host on the classic rock station. So, the river. So he had to be there every day too, because he's, you know, putting his voice in and, you know, picking music and stuff. And he has a lot of responsibilities there. So that's why he's able to jump on the podcast every day and, you know, and also do segments for us. So I went in Monday and Tuesday. I took yesterday off for a physical, but it was cool, you know. And then Tuesday, yesterday, whenever the hell, today's Thursday. But anyway, you know, Tuesday when I went in, we got in this really good vibe. I don't know. I'm looking at Jared, finally looking at him in physical form. And then to my right, I'm looking at English Nick in physical form, and everybody's laughing, and we're bouncing off each other. You know, Eric's on the screen and Autumn's on the screen. And it felt great to finally be back in with live people doing radio, you know, and we're fine. We do a good job on the Zoom or whatever we do it on. You know, we're all from home. But being in that studio, it was just, it was electric. It was great to be back like that.
And yeah, it makes you appreciate that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And
because I have a tough time doing this. I mean, I'm having a good time here, but when we're in the studio, this, it's so much better.
Well, because we can see, we can look at each other and, we can smirk and we can, you know, oh, do that. You know, it's this is fine, but it's much better.
Donuts.
Yeah.
And we can talk over each other without a delay like God intended.
Yes.
Well, that is the thing, like the lag, you know, the, even when there isn't a real lag, there's the lag.
I, at first, when we started doing this, I was like, this is never going to work.
Yeah.
I listened to a lot of podcasts, and you know what? They all sound like this.
Of course.
Even TV shows like Conan is doing all his interviews, not all of them, but 95% of his interviews are over Zoom.
Yeah.
And these big celebrities from home are having the same problem with the lags and the audio dropping out and everything.
Yeah. I watched Talking Sopranos on, I watched their podcast, 'cause I like the look on their faces. They fuck with each other the whole show and they're very sarcastic to each other and I love it. And so I got to watch them do it, but they'll have a guest on and the all three of them will be talking over each other. So that's the way it is, but hopefully we'll all get out of it. So, let's see a little, housekeeping. Coming up next week, I believe, or is it? No, it's going to be Monday, right?
Monday.
Artist and actor, a comic book artist, really talented guy, man. And we've had him on before. He's got some new projects. He's in a couple of movies. We'll see if we can talk to him about it. Brian Silverbacks is going to join us again, so you're not going to want to miss that. And let's see what else. Hopefully, we can get some more interviews. I love doing them. And Jeff, thank you again for getting Jared for us. And let's talk
when
about
when I saw him in the last Black Press, I was like, holy shit, I'm Facebook friends with this guy.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Ira, again, thank you. You got anything you want to talk about? You want to plug something?
No. Did you guys already talk about what you've been watching and all that stuff? So that's already done, right?
Yeah, we did that, and I may add it to this show, but I doubt it.
Yeah. No, I got nothing, man. Just hanging.
Well, it's nice to see you, and I appreciate
it. Nice to see you too.
Let's talk about barkville.org and the wonderful things they do for dogs and dog owners.
Yeah, so we really, today they put out a desperate plea for fosters. If you can even give up a room in your house, a crate in your house for even a couple of weeks, we really need it bad right now. It's getting to be spring and the shelters are filling up and They had seven dogs that they wanted to pull today that were all on like the last hurrah, you know, before they go down. But we don't have any place to put them and we can't afford to put them in boarding. So if you could maybe offer, and they're all dog friendly and they're all like good with kids and the whole shebang. So if you can offer up your little help for us, BarkvilleDogRescue.org, and fill out the foster application, or you can just give us some money. You can just give us all your stimulus money.
I'll give you some money.
Give us some money.
I will give them some money.
That would be fantastic. That would be fantastic.
Does it help that it's warming up and people can think about having dogs part-time inside, part-time outside?
No, actually, the summer is the worst because
it gets too hot.
Well, and people dump them before they go on summer vacation.
Oh, really?
Was it Monday that you brought up Barstool Sports? Because if it was, I don't want to leave that out. I want you to tell everybody what Portnoy did.
Was it Monday? I can't remember. Or was that? But Dave,
remember Dustin?
Well, we can just say it again. But one of our volunteers, he reached out to Dave Portnoy from Barstool Sports, who's been giving money to a lot of small businesses through this pandemic or whatever. And he cut Barkville, I guess, a nice fat check to help us out. So awesome. Yeah, it was very cool. And then, you know, between that and then Jeff got us on the HQ and HQ.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, just like that, it goes like that.
Yeah.
So plan. I won $1.89 yesterday.
Oh, sweet.
Congrats.
Anyway, so BarkvilleDogRescue.org. Woof.
Woof. Dustin, you got anything to talk about before we wrap?
Hopefully, knock on wood, we're going to have at least a little preview clip of Sam.
Oh yeah.
For everybody, we're going to work on getting that out and going forward on that. I know everybody's expecting it, and we're looking to get it out there for them.
I feel like there should be a role for Ira in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my next statement.
Oh, yeah?
I think.
All right, send me my sides, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
look, I like my coffee, a little bit of half and half, and then the rest coffee, just a drop.
You go to Burger King very often? No. You know, and I sent an email with some of my follow-ups to the audio piece, which sounded great. I mean, it did. It did. But the one thing that I realized is we need a couple more people because, you know, I just need to do the guy and other people to do the voices of the other actors or the other characters and stuff. But it's really coming together. We'll get it out. And thank you all for, you know, kicking ass on it. So
I'm going to write like an Alec Baldwin-esque Glengarry Glen Ross type monologue for Ira.
Oh, yeah. I'm in, man.
Happy to do that. That's my name.
Right. Second place. Set of steak knives.
Put that coffee down. All right.
Okay, Whalers are for closers.
That's right. The Whalers are. You know, he said the Whalers was for closers. So I smacked them over the fucking head. All right, guys, until Monday or Tuesday of next week. Please remember to keep it
canon.
Hey, we want to thank our Radio Labyrinth Patreon producers. Those are the people who come in at the $25 or above. If you don't do that, you know, of course, we mention you in the YouTube video. You see a thank you that Dustin's put together. But these are the people that have been with us the longest and have donated the most over the years, and we appreciate all your help. And we break them up with radio terms, starting off with the general managers, and those are the folks that have been with us 4 years or longer. We have Eric Malmstrom, who's been with us since October 2016. Keith Tate, also October 2016. In fact, I think these guys are they may as well be the owners of the radio group, don't you think? Because they've been with us longer. Oh, and throw Matt Carter in with that. He's been around since November 2016. And our most recent winner of Danger Zone, Chad Shepard, who's been around with us since October of 2017. I'm going to send those No, he's not getting a shirt until we get the. No, I'm kidding. I don't want the red. I don't want the red box troll doll. I want him to have it. But now our program directors; those are folks who come in at 2 to 3 years. We have Sean Hall from April of 2018. We have Mike D, August of 2018, and John Sutherland, December of 2018. And all three of those guys, awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Well, then we got our DJ, Spin It Up the Hits, up to 2 years or less. Spin It Up the Hits, that's right. There we go. We got Tim Slayton, who's coming in at number five on the list, 2019. He's been around. We got Brian Smith, who I have been manually dropping his name in wherever in the podcast because we had to record the new one. But thank you, Brian Smith, and Chelsea as well. We have Chris Chandler. Not the quarterback for the Falcons, but a different Chris Chandler, since December of 2020. So thank you very much. Todd Ellis from January of 2020. So he's been with us a little over a year. Roby Neely, who's been with us, who's also a champion of, you know what we're going to have to do? We're going to have to do a championship battle between the people who won Danger Zone. More on that later.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, I think it'd be great. We have a tournament of champions, sure.
Yeah, and then eventually when we all die like Alex, they can take over the show. and a special shout-out to our assistant producers, Emily Warren and Buck Monterey. Buck coming in December of 2017 and Emily Warren coming in May of 2018. So thank you guys very much. And like we said, if you want to be a Radio Labyrinth Patreon member, just go to patreon.com/TimAndrews.